ride into this world all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own. The crow flies straight, a perfect line. On the devil's back until you die. This life is short.
Hello, Street Fight fans, to a very special edition of Street Fight. We are not the crow. We do not have to fly alone. We have our friends to join us on the final ride. And as promised, Will Menaker is here with us this week. Those of you that heard the remastered version of the interview we did with him earlier this year, loved it. We got lots of retweets and thank yous and praises and all this or that. I think even Will got a little bit of the Street Fight bump on his book, Bend of the World, so check that one out as well. And, you know, Brian and I like wrestling. Sons of Anarchy is something that we spend more time talking about than regular Anarchy, and I probably spent more time researching it, even though I eventually had to stop watching the show just for my own sanity's sake. Brian, always the glutton for punishment, continued all the way through to the end. And so I'm excited to get caught up on this final ride. How was it?
Can I throw something right here at you right now? Is that, like, you just were listening at the wrong time. You were watching Sons of Anarchy at the wrong time in your life. Because it is written exactly like wrestling. There's almost no difference between the way it's written and wrestling. It seems like a lot of people that quit watching wrestling moved over to Sons of Anarchy is what I really think that's part of the audience.
That's definitely a big part of the crew, I would say. And having a brand new baby is not the ideal to watch Sons of Anarchy. I will admit to that from experience.
Yeah, my coworker who just had a kid had to stop watching it as well because I think the violence and particularly the kids also involved in the show or was just too real.
Yeah, sometimes that show always went to a place where I was like, I never understood why they go there. I never, from the very beginning, it was like, oh Jesus, did you really have to cut this guy's balls off, you know, in front of everybody on the TV?
It got so insanely violent by the end, though. I just, like, you know when it comes on FX, it'll be like, Sons of Anarchy is rated TV MA4, corpse pissing, torture porn, rape, prison rape, regular rape, school shootings, stabbings, beheadings. You know, it goes on and on.
Anything that was violent in the media, like if something violent happened on TV, it was like the law and order of violence. It's like, we're going to go ahead and throw that in here. We saw this really cool murder that happened in the news. We're going to go ahead and throw it on this show.
Ripped from today's headlines.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it did. I mean, it did kind of attract the same crowd. I think even when the final ride happened, I saw people updating that I had no clue they were into it. And I'm still blown away by the people that tuned in each week and admitted they cried tears of, sadness. And I have to wonder, based upon where I left off, is there anybody left alive? Was it basically a suicide club?
Yeah, almost a suicide club. Like there's a core of guys that made it through, but by the end, at the very last second of the show, Jax is dead. Jax kills himself by driving a motorcycle into an oncoming truck.
What?
Ron Perlman just also dead. Jax kills him. Bobby Elvis also dead.
No, not Bobby Elvis.
Yeah, Bobby
Malcolm
Elvis,
Jamal Warner died. Killed him. Right?
No, it was someone else.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
Who else? I feel like
did Gemma make it? Please tell me Gemma made it.
Nope, Gemma's dead. Killed by Jax. Bullet.
Yeah, Jax. Jax executed her
because Gemma killed Tara. So Tara also dead.
No, I liked her as well. She was gonna do. She felt like. She was kind of the weird one where I just yelled at her the whole time, like, cut and run, you're smarter than this. Like, who leaves, like, a prestigious hospital job to go hang out in Charming?
Unser, Sheriff Unser, also dead.
No!
Killed by Jax as well.
He was just trying to protect the people at Charming.
He had to go. He was too good. He was dying anyway. It was.
So who was it? Just like the Nazis and the
nope.
and the Black Gang? I don't know who made it.
Oh, you're gonna be sad when you find out who made it because they don't deserve to make it.
The surviving sons at the end.
Is it that Rocky faced guy?
Chibs.
Chibs, yeah.
The scar faced Scottish guy.
Okay.
Tig, the everyone's favorite rapist and sex.
Yeah. Okay.
Happy, the sort of bald, taciturn psychopath who's just their go-to trigger man for, like, any execution or anything like that, or torture. He's just sort of the stoic, quiet killer.
He's not even that. He was just a guy that, because people were starting to be like, well, how many people are in this fucking gang? You know, it looks like there's only four of them. So they added, like, two guys that they would just have walk around with them in all the episodes.
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of, like, minor patches who are sort of, you know, they're like the red shirts on Star Trek. They die quick. But I will say, you know, we're going to slag it off mercilessly, but one of the things I did like about the very last episode in the last season is that they let the, they get an unofficial change in the club's bylaws so that they can let a black guy in, and they let the guy who was the head of the black biker gang, the Grim Bastards, they patch him over and he becomes a full-blood son.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I mean, that's like the Mormon church. Like, that's a new history.
Yeah,
it's 2014, though.
About the 70s, yeah.
It's 2014.
Sons of Anarchy a little bit longer.
Yeah, it took them longer than, like, country clubs to let black people in.
Oh, sorry. Also, because I think there was that whole subplot where it was revealed that he was half black, and then the sheriff was going to use it to extort him to turn and snitch on the sons. Juice, also dead.
No, I like Juice. He was good.
Juice was killed by Marilyn Manson in prison.
Marilyn Manson? Like, mm-hmm. As himself?
Basically. As a Nazi version of Marilyn Manson without the makeup. So pretty scary.
And he's carrying on Henry Rollins?
He's just some sort of, he's another, like, Nazi gang leader in prison.
There's so many fucking Nazis in Charming. There's more Nazis in Charming than there were in Germany during World War II.
Yeah, it's like half of the SS is in Northern California, apparently. But, Brian, let me ask you, one of the things I did like about the final season is I did like the way Juice went out. I thought that was a cool death scene. What did you think of that?
I didn't like any of the last season.
Okay, so there's really nothing good to talk about.
But no, I'll say this, that, like, I hated Juice's storyline because, like, I felt, didn't we see that with somebody else already? When the guy from Donal Logue.
I cannot say that guy's fucking
name.
Donald?
I can't say his name either. I really like him, but his character made absolutely no sense on the last season. Or the season before last, I should say. His character made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I felt like they did the prison rape thing already. But, like, yeah, it was okay that he went out kind of tough. But I didn't think he needed to die. But I guess he did get, like, all the Chinese people in Los Angeles killed. Or in Chaman.
Yeah, so I think we covered that. There's basically three or four guys from the original Sons who are still alive, still sunning anarchy by the end of the show. But I think that one of the problems of the show is that it strayed too far from its source material, which is Hamlet. And because, you know, it started out like, you know, Jax is the Hamlet character. His father is dead. His mother has taken his uncle as his new father, and then, of course, it's the, you know, to be or not to be, his sort of angsty, you know, what am I going to do, where am I going to land, indecision.
Yeah, and that's what I remember, and I also remember from the beginning, he was, like, investigating this, and he was real sensitive, and they even had, like, Emma Goldman quotes in there and everything, and I thought this was a legit show, and I said to Brian, I was like, well, what's wrong with this? And he's like, oh, they get rid of all that, like, thoughtful shit pretty quickly.
Well, The Hamlet stuff, you can only take it so far, and Jax's indecisiveness becomes annoying. But I like to think of it that it went from being Hamlet to being Rosencrantz and Guildenstern plus a small liberal arts college worth of people are dead. Yeah. That's sort of what it turned into.
I really feel like I couldn't figure out like what it turned into fucking Rambo, really. Like they were just fucking driving around mowing people down.
Okay, the Sons of Anarchy Motorcycle Club has dropped more bodies in Northern California than like a small war, than like the Bosnian conflict in the 90s. And one of the most amazing parts about the show is that the police and federal government just seem to be mostly okay with it. Or they're just like, those Sons of Anarchy boys are at it again. You know, dropped another 13 bodies on the streets of a major American city. Oh, well. Like, you know, the IRA blew up their bar. I mean, like, every criminal organization in the world, from drug cartels to the Russian mafia, have some connection to the Sons of Anarchy. And these Keystone cops are just mostly willing to let it go. And I feel like in reality, they would have just already, like, a drone would have already shot a missile at them. They would have just been killed.
Yeah, they certainly know how to keep a lid on things there in Charmin, because it is so confusing to me how they get away with that. When they had bazookas is when I stopped. I think it was, like, third or fourth season. They're, like, going through the, like, switchgrass and they have bazookas and I'm just like, I don't know, but I don't know where this is going. And it just is now, I mean, couldn't make any sense of it. And like you said, they are mainly Sons of Anarchy and means you're a bumbling idiot and that you're just gonna have to kill away your problems, because they never did a single thing right.
No. And everything goes wrong for them always. But what I've learned from the show is that you can always, no matter how bad it looks, for you and your comrades, you can always pull it out of the bag by just like arranging a meeting with like a bunch of different factions, but like really on the sly, let one of them know that like after you shake hands, you're just going to straight pop them in the head. The other guys, just straight pop them in the head, just right in their face, point blank range, but do it all at the same time. So like you just drop three or four guys like that. And that's how you solve your problems. That's problem solving, Sons of Anarchy style, right there.
And one of the biggest tragedies of being in the Sons of Anarchy, really, is that you're almost like 99% likely to get killed by another Son of Anarchy. That's another thing. Like, all the Sons of Anarchy that get killed are usually killed by somebody from the Sons of Anarchy.
Yes, that's also true. And what kind of annoyed me about the show is that I feel like every season they would bring in like a new prospect or like a new guy from another charter. And you could I'd sort of be excited to be like, oh, well, who's this guy? Like, I want to see this prospect, like, you know, get in the crew and finally start like pulling his weight or whatever. But they would just kill him off so quickly that like they never developed any characters or displaced any of like the core four or five guys in any way. They were just kind of there.
It's basically like holding up bunnies in front of the crowd and murdering him in front of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bobby Elvis was, like, Bobby Elvis was too charismatic to cut off a TV earlier than they'd, I mean, man, his death was such a big deal, and I didn't realize he was such a big character. I never cared about that fucking guy at all until, like, the last season.
Well, Brett, you said you clocked out at about halfway through season four, right? So I had the thought that I would sort of, as quickly as possible, update you and anyone else who is, strayed on the show on what's been going on for about the last four or five seasons, season four, five, six, and seven, up until the very bitter end. And I'm going to do that the quickest way possible by reading just these little clips I've selected at random from the official, synopsis of, you know how, like, they'll send a TV guide just, like, one or two sentences to, like, as a preview of what the episode is?
Yeah, the highlights. These are the highlights.
So I'm going to read you what happened. And these are just basically selected at random from the last couple seasons. And hopefully the point I'm trying to make will reveal itself. Okay, season four. To help his mom, his club, and his son, Jax conspires with an unlikely source.
Okay. I think I've seen this before.
While Clay and Jax campaign with club members for the Mexican cartel deal, the feds think that they might have found a way to take Sam Crow down.
I bet they can. They're not. Will they take Sam Crow down?
Will they?
Not if it's the feds that we've seen every week. Those feds don't know what they're doing.
Keystone Cops. Okay, season 5. Sam Crow explores new business opportunities.
Yeah, okay. I hope it's not guns. I hope it's not anything besides guns, because they don't deal in anything else.
To get the MC out of guns, they have to make a deal with the Irish. But to make a deal with the Irish, they have to make a deal with the Chinese. Okay, season 6. Jax and the MC must confront their past and choose their future.
Yeah, I remember that from the first episode.
Jax strikes a new deal while getting rid of old problems.
I bet I know how he got rid of those problems, though. I'm guessing.
One way to handle a problem.
Yeah, the nickel-plated 40 to your head, that's how.
Kill your problems.
Yeah, kill your problems. Okay, and season 7. Sam Crow exploits an opportunity to secure an important alliance.
I bet they fumbled it up. I can't imagine them actually.
They fucked it up royally.
Yeah, there's no way they could ever secure any sort of joint business venture.
They fucked it up royally, and 30 people are dead.
Yeah, whoops. Hey, man, at least we've got our tight-knit group here. We need to go sit around the table and chop it up.
Yeah.
Their table, man.
Yeah, we need to have a vote on this. We need to have a vote on this, guys.
Their meetings were the worst. It was just like the biggest idiots in the world trying to play chess and arguing about what rules the pieces have. No, the horse don't move like that.
Yeah. It really was like a lot. It really was like most of the political stuff that happened in that boardroom was like so stupid. And then they would punctuate it at the end with that stupid gavel. And I was always like, I couldn't take anything seriously.
The best though is when they would have a vote scene like it was Spielberg's Lincoln or something, where they're tallying the yay and nay votes to like ratify the 13th Amendment, and it's just like they're wringing tension out of like, is Tig gonna vote yay or nay? Is he gonna go against Ron Perlman?
Yeah, they would really like put a lot of importance on like, and they would like kind of zero in on the guy's face, and they probably were just like, look confused, because that's what they always look kind of confused before they voted. Like they could have gone the other way.
Yeah. They want you to think that. And it is maybe, I guess, for the casual viewer, they would imagine being at a table with guys. I don't know. You feel like you can't trust nobody. It's kind of a mafia thing, I guess. And it plays into that, but people eat it up. I don't know why. I can't believe someone would look at that and be like, woo-wee, it's hard being in a motorcycle club.
It sounds fucking terrible to be in a motorcycle club. Like, the worst thing that could happen to you would end up in a motorcycle club, I think.
Yeah, they spoiled me on the whole idea.
Too many fucking meetings. Brett and I used to talk about how we never wanted to be in the mafia because they had to wear suits and go to meetings. And then this fucking motorcycle gang shows up and it's like, shit, they're fucking having a vote. Like, when they would run out of money near the end of the season, that's another thing that I've noticed. It's like at the beginning of the seasons, they'll have fucking tank chases. And then by the end of the season, every scene takes place in a boardroom or in somebody's house or in an office.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of, yeah. Conspicuously, like they would always find some way to have them always indoors. You know, we're at Diosa, we're at Jimmy Smith's brothel. We're conducting 90%, 75% of the action on the show will now take place in there.
Yes, yes, Diosa. At the end, there was also the porn warehouse that they could go to. Which
was an expensive set.
They rented a warehouse.
Yeah.
It was an important part of keeping that show together, though, man. Yeah, they really did blow the money.
When the IRA blows up their garage and bar, I think that was just because the bar set was too expensive. They had to get rid of it. And yeah, like a bare warehouse set.
It's cheaper if we just buy dynamite and blow
also,
this thing up.
And because it's a porn set, they can have like grips and like lights and like camera equipment just in shots. And it's totally part of the...
Hey, we can use all this backup recording stuff and put it right there.
Or, you know, yeah, they can have the director's chair, craft service table, just get that in the shot. You know, Jax is going to the table to get a donut and coffee.
Man, you know what's funny about this is that, like, this Sons of Anarchy is really as cheap as wrestling. Like, I'm starting to think of all the things that we've said. One of the things we said is they kill their way out of every problem, which in wrestling, you fight your way out of every problem. And there's always a bunch of, I mean, they...
There's always alliances, and you never know who's going to turn on any moment in some partnership, where, like, you think the One-Niners and the Mexicans are working together, but guess what? By God, the One-Niners have turned on them! There's, you know...
My God, I did not see that happening!
By God, is that the Nazi music I hear?
My favorite part of the show from the very beginning is that they'd be like, hey, sons, we got to move these guns. Hopefully no Mexicans get involved in it. And then the next scene would then be them driving on the freeway with the guns. And then, like, the Mexicans just are like, right around the corner. It was like they were always telling you what was going to happen. Like, they would just straight up say it. It is similar to that in wrestling where they would just be like, oh, I'd be real mad if this guy did that. And then he does it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, one thing I will give them credit for by the end, that the Sons of Anarchy did squash all their beef with Black and Brown, and they're cool with the Mexicans and the One-Niners, you know, so.
I don't put a lot of fucking stock in that, if I'm being, like, if we play out the rest of the Sons of Anarchy's live, it's not like they got a good leader in Chibs, who's just agreed every time somebody said we got to go kill a bunch of people. Chibs is like, yeah, let's, you know. Well, that's what we got to do for Jackie.
We're with your brother. And another 50 people in Oakland are dead, including police, children, and FBI agents. But, you know, it's just life rolls on.
Well, I hope
you gotta, keep riding through this world.
I hope it bleeds through, though, to some of the viewers, because I think a lot of those shows do end up formulating opinions for people when they're like, hey, you know, we can be allies with Black and Brown. Like, they just assume, they think that everybody is their own gang, and it's that, like, sort of crude racial view of, like, the uneducated public.
Well, isn't that also sort of the similar with wrestling? Is that, like, you know, they have a lot of, like, you know, sort of totems of, you know, other races or countries or enemies or whatever. I feel like it's, on Sons of Anarchy, it's like the Russians, the Irish, the Italians, you know, the Black gangs, the Mexicans, the Nazis. Like, it's just everything is this kind of, like, you know, character or, you know, avatar of some other anxiety or race or something.
Yeah, the greatest hits of crime.
One of the greatest heels in wrestling is just a French guy. So, like, it is...
The French were the one group that were, like, never really portrayed on Sons of Anarchy. There was no, like, former Foreign Legion, like, Algerian mercenaries or anything like that, you know, which I figure in the gun business, maybe you'd run across.
Well, I think the French are mostly cat burglars.
That's true. They wear striped T-shirts and have a little mask.
Yeah, I don't think it fits into the Sons world.
No, the Sons never went for much more. Like, it also seemed like they were fighting, like, it never seemed like we were fighting for millions of dollars either. Like, the amount of people they killed and the amount of money that they probably ended up with couldn't have been that great. They never really said numbers, which is smart, because some people are assuming millions, but I'm thinking about 20,000.
I would guess that all said and done, you know, a guy like Bobby Elvis or Chibs, you know, the high-ranking patches, they were probably pulling, like, 30 grand a year.
That's maybe. What I'm thinking. I'm thinking, like, okay, so they lost about 100 guns. That's probably, like, 10,000 bucks, maybe, if they're, like, really nice ones. And split amongst 30 guys you got here, plus everyone that they promised money to. Yeah, everyone's getting away with basically a PBR and a shot of cheap whiskey.
They're living like me, except for they're fucking killing. They're living paycheck to paycheck, but they have to work harder and put, like, a shitload more risk in it than I do.
Each one of them has caught more bodies than, like, tobacco.
Yes, yeah. None of them ever, like, it never seemed like they were ever against killing people. Like, I just saw a scene on Peaky Blinders, and this might be why I think that show is not English Sons of Anarchy. Just to let you guys know. I don't think that. But I saw a scene where somebody in one of the meetings was like, maybe we shouldn't kill those people. And I was like, this is not Sons of Anarchy. Nobody would ever say that on there.
Definitely not. Well, I think this is a good – like, I know you've hinted at, but you've talked before, you have sort of a theory about Sons of Anarchy and Breaking Bad. And I also have one about how these two shows are sort of connected somewhat thematically. And I think that there's kind of a hidden thread – that explains a lot of the popularity of these shows. And that is with both Sons of Anarchy and Breaking Bad. I think they key in. I think they're popular. I think they key into this kind of fantasy of that white people want to be really good at crime too. Like it's sort of like sports where like there's kind of this racist ideology that like, you know, we're mad because mostly black people dominate sports and we also think of them as criminals, but also we kind of want to beat them at their own game. And I think that's what Sons of Anarchy and Breaking Bad are kind of about. Guy. It's just like they're white guys, like the Sons of Anarchy are basically white trash, but like they're getting over on all of like these bigger, you know, heavier, hitting more, as we say, the more naturally talented criminal gangs.
Yeah, and actually I can run with that in the way that where when they complain about sportsmanship, like when they complain that some black guy is doing a dance out there, they're like, oh, I would never do that. I would be super great at football, but I would never celebrate. And it does kind of play into that same way where it's like, no, I have a code. I'm a white man with a code. We don't do anything that, you know, these other gangs would do, you know, these other colored gangs would do. Like it does, and same with Walter White, where it's like, well, you know, the guys bringing in the dirty ice from Mexico, they were just unscrupulous.
But they don't have any integrity at all. They don't have any work ethic or integrity, you know?
Exactly.
And the Sons of Anarchy, you know, Redwood Original, they're just scrappy lunch pail criminals, you know? They come to do crime every day. They leave their heart on the field, and they do it for the love of the outlaw life. Not the big salaries or flashy diamonds.
No spinner rims.
The other street gangs and murderous, you know, drug lords and gun runners.
No, they were really austere, too. They didn't have a whole ton of stuff. And they were trying to be, I mean, like, I had a real fucking philosophical problem with them being okay with going into guns but not drugs. But really, all they wanted to do was, like, escorts, and they made a big show about how they treat them nicer than everybody else, and then porn, and, you know, that was what they wanted to do. I can't understand how they got into so many gunfights. Like, once they got out of guns in season 4, you know?
I mean, the guns were always around. I mean, they said they got out of guns, you know, in scare quotes, but the guns were always there. I don't know. I don't really remember, but I don't think they ever got out of guns, or at least it didn't seem that way. I mean, you think they realize after a while how much more money you can make just doing internet porn without, like, the constant violence and you know, loss of life?
Yeah, but they wouldn't be cooped up in an office, though. I think they were. I think they're secretly – they're self-sabotaging on that because you're right. I mean, a 19-year-old that is good at online marketing could turn a computer porn website into a retirement program.
Like I said, they wouldn't be pulling, you know, no 30, 40 grand a year for some chump change.
I know, but they're, I mean, like, they also, you have to look at, I looked at them as dad types, too. Like, Bobby Elvis is the dad that's really into music. Chibs is, like, the dad, like, dads, in my experience, dads want to be Irish. Like, Irish dad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody, there's lots of people that have a Clotta tattoo that have zero green in their bloodstream.
Yeah. There's the Irish dad type, and then Ron Perlman was sassy dad, and Tig was kind of sick.
Gross, you know, sick uncle. And twisted. Your creepy uncle dad.
He's horny dad, that's
cool. Yeah, horned up dad.
So, like, I think Brett watching it, he was like, I think there was a point where Brett was at the end of a season where they were doing a lot of meetings and shit. And he sent me something. He's like, these are just dads that go to fucking bike night at Quaker Steak and Lube, which is like a casual restaurant.
Yeah, they have the edge. I'm definitely know that they have the edge, but from what I've heard about, like, Hell's Angels and stuff, like, those guys, like, throw up on each other and fight each other every night and, like, shoot up, and it's, like, shake-and-bake meth, and it is, like, a lot harder lifestyle. These guys are literally sound like they're just looking for friendship or kinship and then just keep going along because they don't want to lose their buddies. They keep escalating the situation. It is like a dad club.
In Hunter S. Thompson's book, Hell's Angels, he talks about one of the things that the the Hells Angels would always do if they knew they were around, like, some squares or, like, a journalist or something, is that they would just start, like, licking and tongue-kissing each other and just humping one another, like, in just one manly just hump orgy.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that happening on the Sons of Anarchy.
No. The people would be irate. They would lose all their viewers.
No, they would absolutely lose it. But, like, I don't think – the show was – like I said, it kind of tried to have it both ways, and that was, like, insanely violent and really, like, the level of, like, just sadism and violence on that show just got almost to the point where I couldn't take it.
I felt like in at the end of Breaking Bad season 4 when they blew up Gus's face and it was all fucking gross and he fell down. Like, the very next episode of Sons of Anarchy had him chopping a guy's hands off and feet off and putting them in a bag and sending them to his enemies.
Or, like, you know, lighting someone's daughter on fire in front of them. Like, just burning them alive in front of them or something like that.
See, I missed that. Like, I remember one of the biggest impression was when they cut that rapist dude balls off. Which, to me, does play into that. Like you said, the paternalistic white man dad of, like, hey, you know what? I do a little bit of crime, but if you're going to rape, you need to get your dick cut off. You know, like, that's everybody on Facebook that comments on the news would just be chopping at the bit to cut some rapist dick off.
Like I said, I think it's this kind of, it's this angry dad fantasy of, like, just violent brotherhood and sort of, like, living beyond the laws of society, living by dad law. This violently enforced dad law.
None of you sons of bitches can even do crime right. I'm going to come in here and show you how it's done.
Hitch your pants up. I'm going to hitch my pants up, put my thumbs in my belt loop, and show you how to do some crime.
Show your goddamn patch so people know where you're from. But also, I think, you know, from what I understand, the show lost its thread of, like, Jax being the troubled guy as it went on.
Fuck, he became, I reviled him. Like, I fucking was repulsed by him. Worse than Walter White, who I was, like, really down on in the end of Breaking Bad. But, man, this fucking Jax, I mean, he got away with so many killings. And, like, when I say that, like, he killed all the people in the Chinese street gang in wherever they are near Charming. Like, all of them on accident. Like, it was like a whoops, you know, I did it on some bad information.
Yeah, that's not, I don't understand the show at that point. Like, that's why I said, once I found out, like, I started, like, once you told me Clay died, I'm like, what are they doing with this? I figured by the end of it, it had to have just been everybody dies. And then I still might tune in, because if it starts out as, like, just some sort of parable to, like, crime leading to death and everybody ultimately dies and it's this gigantic tragedy, like, I could totally jam with that. But it got too confusing because it seemed like there was a soul, like, they were grasping at something, I guess, with that Jax character, at least towards the beginning. Like, nobody liked him because he was thoughtful, you know? Like, people hated him, like,
and, like, you could go one way in showing that, like, you really can't be a part of this, like, outlaw life and be a good guy and have the sort of arc of the show be his, like, just total corruption from someone who was once a sort of vaguely decent person. But I don't feel that they really did that. I feel like they sort of tried to have it both ways, like I was saying earlier. Like, I don't know how you feel, Brian, but, I mean, one of the most excruciating things to me about this last season is that it was just one season ago, probably at the end of it, that Ron Perlman was taken out. And I feel like it was so excruciating because I just feel like I'm watching the show now and I'm like, God, do you remember when Ron Perlman was on this show? It feels like fucking forever. It feels like ages ago, but it wasn't. It's because it just, everything just seems so monotonous and just keeps going on and on and on. And like I said, in the end with Jax, we're like, he couldn't live, but they allowed him to have this, like, you know, moment of being Jesus Christ. And it's just like, he doesn't deserve that. He should end up in jail, like, alone with nothing.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a real ending for the show. But they made him into Jesus Christ in Hamlet at the end. And, like, that asshole doesn't deserve that. Like, it's just an insult to the viewers, or to me at least.
He tortured the fuck out of that guy. And it, like, in the last season, like, he killed so many people. I mean, like, he killed other people in the Sons of Anarchy. He killed, like, he just was shooting people in the head to solve, like, every problem involved shooting somebody in the head. And not only that, like, he tortured a bunch of people. It was so weird. It really was like the blow off at the end of a wrestling feud. Like, when the feud ends and you get to see, like, everybody's story wrap up, and then one person comes out triumphant at the end, and that fucking person was Jax. Like, he shouldn't have come out triumphant.
And it's, like, sort of sad that, you know, he has to die, but it's just, like, the, you know, the heroic glory of suicide, basically, which is disgusting. And, oh, God, I know I mentioned it to you, but, like, the final scene where he's being, like, you know, trailed by, like, 15 cop cars, and he's just, like, you know, free as a bird on his, you know, old Harley.
Smiling, smoking
a bogey, and just, like, you know, wind rippling through his beautiful blonde locks. And they go to this, like, CGI crow flying in the air that was, like, the corniest, lamest, like, TV special effects ever.
Like, it looked like CGI bees?
Worse than that. You could fake bees a little bit better. It was, like, a CGI crow flying as, nice. You know... It's meant to symbolize his death and freedom.
Yeah, his freedom. He's set free from all the, you know, the burdens upon him. It's like, dude, that guy was a burden on society. I would go as far as to say he wasn't just like, he was a war criminal. Cause, I mean, he was pretty much at war for all the years we saw him.
He's like Assad. I'm surprised the Sons of Anarchy didn't make a deal with Assad by the end of the show.
Well, I have two things, too. This is just from Brian. Like, I still kept up with the show via Brian. And the Ron Perlman death, Clay, did affect Brian. He was like, I don't even know how to process this. But I just watched Clay die on the screen, and I never thought that would happen.
Yeah, you know what? I get shocked when people get killed. I don't follow the news. Like, I try not to follow too much news because I notice that it ruins your enjoyment of the show when you're like, this is, you know, this guy's last season on the show. So, like, when they killed Clay, I was pretty shocked. And I kind of hated it because that was the exact point where it was like, well, now, like, who's the bad guy in the club? There's no bad guy in the club. And then we would soon find out.
Yeah, that's when Jax took over for it. That was the other thing I was going to say, was then you were like, I think this guy is just aping Breaking Bad. Like, I literally think the guy that wrote this is now just copying Breaking Bad's success.
Okay, so like the rivalry, or sort of the friction between Jax and Clay was like the driving force of the show forever. And like, for a while it worked because Ron Perlman is a fantastic actor. He's such a great character actor, and like, he made that character so good, which is like really what, I don't know, pulled me through the show for quite a long time. But like, you know, Jax as the centerpiece of the show is just no good. I like, you know, Charlie Hunnam or whatever is just, you know, he's dreamy, I get it, but he's just like a charisma black hole. And the Jax character is just, I don't know, it's just boring.
He is. He's boring, and like, nothing. I think the hardest pill to swallow, I guess, the weirdest thing about that last season, that last few seasons, was that like, the character did a 100% turn. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like it happened like right around the same time that people were starting to pick up and say like, you know, I used to root for Walter White, but then I started to hate him. And that was the second Jack switched. And then, like, the finale of Breaking Bad, the finale of Sons of Anarchy mirrors the finale of Breaking Bad. The guy comes back to his, or he goes around town smiling and settling all of his debts and solving all of his problems and solving all of his family's problems and shit. Then he jumps on a fucking motorcycle and you know, he saved Jimmy Smits, who is the greatest.
But that that last scene where, like, you know, Jax has done his, like, you know, daytime you know, middle of the day, 20 eyeball witness fucking murder streak, killing Peter Weller and August Marx.
On the fucking...
Right in front of a courthouse, which I'm sorry, you would have been, like, tackled by, like, 30 cops, like, 20 seconds after pulling the trigger, but...
Oh, yeah, that shit happened in Dallas, and they caught that motherfucker immediately.
Yeah, you cannot just murder someone in front of a courthouse and walk away, like, and expect that they'll pick you up later, and so you'll have enough time to, like, set your affairs in order and kill yourself in a heroic fashion. But, like, that scene where, like, okay, in the last season, as Brian has said, Jax went apeshit and killed another club president essentially for no reason on completely mistaken information, and then copped to it. And, like, the other presidents were like, we need a mayhem vote. Like, you killed another member. You didn't have a good reason. So, basically, you have to die. Or, like, you have to be voted into a death sentence. So all of the sons have to, essentially, for the good of the club, vote to kill Jax to execute him. So, like, he does these two murders and then comes back to meet them in a warehouse. And it's sort of like, you know, they're going to give him the blindfold and the cigarette. But, like, at no point in this scene where you're supposed to, like, really be like, oh, my God, are they really going to – are his friends going to kill him? At no point in that scene did you ever, ever imagine that they would. And they didn't in the dumbest way possible.
Yeah. Yeah, he went out, like – everything about it was so – he went out like an outlaw, exactly like it. Like, listen – if I'm being honest, if I wouldn't want to take out the innocent truck driver. That's a fucking dick move, Jax.
The innocent truck driver played by Michael Chiklis of The Shield and sort of another, you know.
He's in that?
Oh, he had a tiny cameo at the very end of it as a truck driver who meets Gemma at a rest stop and then randomly is the guy who connects with Jax at 50 miles an hour on a lonely stretch of highway in California.
Ooh, I think that's called foreshadowing. I read about that in college.
I think it's called symbolism.
Okay. I never went to college.
No, I did go to college. It's called symbolism and metaphor.
That's amazing. They really, whoever, you know, and also the interesting thing about the show, which Brian clued me into, was that the guy in prison, the worst part of the show, one of the worst parts of the show, when I never understood why they were going to prison, that guy was the writer or the creator?
Yeah, the creator, head writer, like the everything of Sons of Anarchy, Kurt Sutter, who was on The Shield. He was half of The Shield on FX. Did you guys ever watch that show?
No, I can't now. Like, I thought about watching it a while ago, but now that I've seen Sons of Anarchy, I'm like, I'm convinced I'm not going to like The Shield.
You might like it. I did watch The Shield.
I like The Shield. It is quite similar to Sons of Anarchy, except they're rogue police officers.
Yeah, now that I found it out, it really takes away a lot of the animosity I had towards The Shield, like, as a viewer, when I was just like, why the fuck are they doing, like, why have they gone to the complete asshole realm? At the beginning, it was just like, we look out for each other and we hide our, you know, we hide the crime and shit like that. And they do have a code. But then it just gets into the point where you're just like, kill everybody. Everybody's fucking awful. Drop a bomb on this place.
I joked a lot about the end of Sons of Anarchy. Like, every season at the end of Sons of Anarchy, I would be like, if this fucking series finale isn't a nuclear bomb hitting Charming, then I don't want to ever – I hate this show. Like, I hate everybody. Like,
if a nuclear bomb went off, it would have been a more subtle ending than the one that they portrayed of him, like, Jesus Christ, going, Father, it is accomplished, as, like, you know, the wine and bread are mixed on a stretch of blacktop.
That's true. Can I ask you a question that, like, I'm dense, I guess. What was the woman drinking wine and eating bread that handed Jax the blanket so he could kill?
This homeless woman showed up a bunch of times on the show as some sort of, like, I don't know. It was never really explained, or maybe if it was, I missed it. But she was just sort of there at certain moments of the show. And, like,
she's
demoed.
She's from Macbeth or something?
Yeah, exactly. Like some sort of Greek chorus or a ghost or angel or something like that. And then she was drinking wine and eating bread. It was like a communion symbol, as a, you know, for, I don't even know. But it was blood and wine, so it was like a communion blood and body of Christ thing with Jax.
Oh,
okay, because they made a, like, there was a big deal made about that, it seemed, on the show, and I was like, who in the fuck is this lady? But that, I tweet a lot while I'm watching Sons of Anarchy, too. Like, it's impossible. I felt like it was very impossible, much like wrestling, it's impossible to watch it and just only be watching it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm checking my phone quite a bit.
Yeah, that's
what during, during one of those montage musical montages, I'm like, okay, time to send a few emails, you know, make a sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I liked about this show too, is that it is similar to wrestling where I just kept it on in the background mainly, and I would wait for like gunfire to go off and then just would rewind and see what happened. But yeah. It is really wild now that you say that, because you just put in my mind some of the people that I know, like, intently watching it. They're like, kids, shut up! They, like, shut off everything. They turn, probably the only time they turn off their phone for the day is to cuddle up in front of Sons of Anarchy.
That's a fucking slog, man. I mean, the episodes were up around, in this last season, the episodes were at least an hour and a half.
But many, many
like
times
90
longer.
Minutes. And, like, there would be scenes of, like, where some, I don't even forget the character, like the girl who was just like a teenager who was the girlfriend of like one of the prospects. She'd be like, you know, Gemma, are you going to use the car today? No, honey, the keys are in my purse. It's like, what, we had to have that dialogue? Like that didn't make the cutting room floor?
Yeah, there was that teenager that lived, or the girl that lived at Tara's house after Tara was dead.
Her, I don't know who she is, whatever.
And like, I was just like, there was a storyline about her and her boyfriend that they used to fill up scenes, but never really
nothing ever came of
it. Nothing became of it at all.
So he could have trimmed so much shit out of there. Somebody was like, we'll give you as much fucking TV time as you want, and he was like, thank you, I'll use it.
Well, okay, back to Kurt Sutter, back to the thing about how he played on the show the son of Anarchy who was in prison, Otto. Right? From season one, he was the guy that was always on the inside. He was a little bit fucked over by the club and was like, you know, sort of a put upon, you know, tragic figure because he's like, you know, doing a life bid for some shit he did for the club. Right? And like, I kind of feel like you said at one point, like when he kills some nurse in the prison hospital with a crucifix, he sort of like looks and is like, bet you didn't see that coming.
Yeah, he looks at the camera, but he's not intentional. He's looking at somebody standing on the other side of the room, but it's like, I just, when
he breaks the fourth wall, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I just pictured him like thinking of that and feeling like it's like the most fucking clever thing in the world.
Well, I think the Otto character is sort of, you know, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I think it's revealing as the, you know, the creator's sort of relationship to his child in this show. Because the Otto character, just as it went on, just got more and more just fucked over and degraded, and just more and more horrible things happened to him. Like, he got his eye put out, he got his other eye put out, you know.
Tongue cut off.
Tongue gets, he bites his own tongue off.
Oh, yeah, he bit his tongue off so he couldn't narc on the club.
Raped, tortured by some sadistic cop, and then finally just, like, you know, goes out getting in some blaze of glory or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. I think Kurt Sutter was trying to tell us something about the, you know, how tortured he felt writing all of this.
I also think that in the show, because he also became more and more important as the show went on. Like, he was just a small character that was in prison, but then by the end of his run, he was like a significant part of every episode.
Hey, as a creator, like, I don't know if you need, if I don't know, I know that a lot of people have successfully like directed themselves and played and everything, but this guy, that is interesting, the point you bring up, Will, because I do remember at the beginning, like, thinking, like, he was just some one-off guy, and then eventually, for some reason, his wife became super important, and then he became super important, and...
Well, his wife, who was, like, his reason for living, gets brutally murdered on the outside, and that gets taken away from him, and he's, like, you know, just one more, nail in the palm.
Right, and then, yeah, and then to say, yeah, then when you think, when you do bring up how much he put, like... I don't know if he was just in the writing room, like, thinking, like, oh, yeah, I'll do this to myself now. It's just, it really is, like, it gets so meta and odd.
It seemed like he went out of his way to put his character through the worst emotional, physical, and tortures that the show could have to offer.
The show, I mean, the way that you make it sound is brilliant. Like, for some reason, I never thought that anybody gave a lick about this. I feel like everybody showed up and kind of just pretended to talk to each other and then shoot each other in the head, but...
You see a lot more. I don't know, man.
No, I don't. I really don't. I don't know why I'm giving this impression. I think your description of it is more accurate.
Yeah.
Well, I just watched the whole thing, you know? Like, I was committed to this, you know, because it was a show that started out as actually genuinely good and entertaining. You know, like I really liked the first two seasons, and then it sort of changed somewhere around season three to being, you know, bad, kind of bad, but still good, and then turned the corner again when they had bazookas to just being bad but entertaining. Then, or maybe season five or six, just bad, and then just excruciating by the end of it. But I had spent so many hours of my life watching this that I figured, like, you know, fuck it. I'm committed now. I'm in it to the bitter end.
I felt the same way. I felt like I really needed to see the last fucking episode of that show. Once I made it through Ireland, it was kind of like, if I fucking drop this show now, then I'm doing myself a disservice. Like, I just wasted all that fucking time, you know?
No, I was thinking about how to sum up the entire run of Sons of Anarchy for someone who had never seen it. And I think the best way to describe it is if someone made 80 plus hours of worth of television of a show that's just an adaptation of an Affliction t-shirt.
Yeah, it is very like I said, it's what it is to me and what I think it is. Because I tie it to wrestling so much, is that it is Attitude Era wrestling.
Annotate for me. What is the Attitude Era wrestling?
Okay, so like wrestling was really clean at one point in the early 90s, and then the WWF basically decided, like, we're going to be dirty, and they called it the Attitude Era, and they had a bunch of sex jokes,
bad language, and
body, well, bad language,
rudeness.
Yes, sex. The violence was cranked way up. You know, yeah, everybody was bleeding and shit.
Yeah, chairs to the head. Chairs to the head. The nudity, the cussing. It was just got ultra violent. It went from like cartoon characters wrestling into just, it looks like street fights and shit. Like, it just looked really fucking brutal.
So, like, Sons of Anarchy, like, so what happened with wrestling was near the Attitude Era kind of ended, it plateaued, people stopped kind of paying attention, so they cleaned it up, and now they've made it a bit more PG, is what they're selling now. But, like, I just have this feeling that, like, that wrestling was never more popular than it was in the Attitude Era. And those people stopped watching wrestling, and they had to fucking go somewhere. And guess where they went? They went right over there to Sons of Anarchy.
Well, and I want to say, I did read this week that for the second year in a row, the most popular name for a boy in the United States of America was Jackson.
No. No way.
It is. It tops the list, man. I'm telling you. My brother-in-law, he named his dog Jackson after the damn show.
Yeah, I have my Facebook feed, because, like, a lot, Facebook is where all the people you grew up are at. Like, everybody watched Sons of Anarchy. I mean, they were getting fucking, I would see people, like, getting the family together for Sam Crow night. Like, they were throwing fucking parties for it, man. Like, it was a pay-per-view every week, and it was as long as a pay-per-view. That's the other thing.
And the idea of getting your family together to watch that show is absurd. I mean, I've always seen, like, there was something on The Walking Dead that happened this season that was, like, you know, vaguely sexual or intimated something of a sexual nature, like when that guy put the lollipop in that girl's mouth at the hospital. And like, people were complaining. They were like, you know, I can't watch this filth with my child. And it's just like, what the hell have you been watching with them before? Like, yeah, you're fine having your kids see, like, you know, heads get split like a melon every other, you know, minute. But
yeah, I tweeted a status update from Facebook where somebody was pissed off about that Walking Dead scene. And I fucking just remember, like, the first episode of this season, they were hitting people in the back of the head and slicing their throats into like a basin thing. And it was the fucking, it was so disturbing for me to watch. It was really tough for me to watch. And I just pictured, you know, sitting there with my 10-year-old. Like, wow.
I don't know. Like, that really would have upset me if I watched that when I was like 10 years old, even 12 or 13 years old. I feel like that still would have really upset me.
Yeah. It upsets me now. I mean, that show, I'm always turning my head. My theory is that, like, I've always wanted to be into horror movies, but, like, I'm kind of scared of them, and now I'm backdooring into through zombie stuff. I like that Walking Dead. Now I watch the new Dawn of the Dead by Zack Snyder.
Oh, that's good. That was good.
That one rules.
That was really good.
I loved it,
man. As far as, like, remakes go, that was a really good one.
And I downloaded 28 Days Later. So, like, I'm working my way back to horror movies.
But what do you guys think of, like, yeah, with Sons of Anarchy, like I said, every episode somebody is getting just, like, a bullet to the face, like, bullet straight through the forehead, point-blank range, just headshot after headshot, scalpings, you name it, everything. And it's just, like, what do you guys think, like, other, you can't say fuck, and you can't show nudity, but basically on cable now, they have, like, hard R-rated violence. Like, if violence were in a movie, it would be a hard R rating.
Yeah, well, the headshots to me, because I you know, I watch a ton of violent shit, and like that, like in the movies that I watch, in the action movies I watch, where they pile up fucking bodies, it's usually just them shooting at each other from far away with machine guns. But
yeah, Arnold will just spray, like, you know, they'll just like spray it like a lawnmower or something, and like, you know, 30 guys will just kind of grab their chests and spin around off a balcony or something.
Yeah, but these in Sons of Anarchy, they push the fucking thing to his temple and pull the trigger and then show the brain shoot out the other side.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
Well, I gotta say, for me, I was like, from a very young age, I watched all the Steven Seagal movies and all the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
They're not as violent as Sons of Anarchy.
No, and, not even
and
close.
And Silk Stockings too. I watched that with my dad. So gross. I think that if I was 10 right now, I would definitely be watching Sons of Anarchy with my family.
Oh, yeah. Just out of curiosity, is your family into it? My dad's not into it, but he don't like anything. Is your family into it?
They love it. As soon as last week, actually, after the final ride, I went and dropped my daughter off, and we met up at IHOP and sat down, and that was the first thing my dad asked. They're like, did you see it? And my mom too. She's like, I don't like it, but he got me into it. I can't deal with all the violence, but he got me into it. I was like, there's nothing else to get into besides the violence. I don't know what else is there. There's no substance.
If the violence is bothering you, then that is definitely something you should cut off. Like, it makes you wonder, like, are you here for the fucking politics then? Are you here for the political wranglings that happen?
I want to know where Jax is going to take this thing. I really want to know what's on his mind. Who's he going to kill next? I like to see how he picks who he's going to kill. I don't necessarily want to see him.
No, I watch it as like a real estate show. Like, what abandoned farm or property are they going to purchase and flip so they can store guns there? Or I want to know what new business this opportunity are they going to invest in? You know, it's like Dragon's Den.
Yeah, they did. Those guys were willing to invest in anything. Like, they were really open to do business with people. Not drugs, though. Never fucking drugs. Well, twice drugs, and then no drugs.
They muled drugs for a cartel, but, you know, that was just transport.
Yeah, and another thing about the story is that, like, when Clay was there at least once, they did like a freedom ride or a ride for charity or something. But those motherfuckers, number one, they never did shit for charity. They were always, the IRA was always in town blowing buildings up and trying to fucking kill them. And they were like, there was constant crime happening in Charming. Like, it wasn't mutually beneficial to the law to have them there.
the townspeople of Charming must be the biggest fucking rubes in the world, because, like, you know, the price for just, like, you know, Beirut in the 80s level violence on their streets every day is that they get, like, a barbecue once a year.
Yeah.
You know, like, and a bouncy castle.
Toys for Tots. They did fucking Toys for Tots.
And then, like, the kids get to, you know, sit on Bobby Elvis's lap and pull his beard.
Wasn't there some... Who was the political wranglings that they got in trouble for donating to? Did that happen in that show?
Yeah, there was...
It was the Libertarian Party of California.
There was a season when Eric Roberts... Wasn't Eric Roberts was running for office, I think.
No, it was not. Eric Roberts was never on Sons of Anarchy.
Well, he wasn't? Who was that guy with the melted face?
It's... Oh, I know the actor you're talking about, but it's not Eric Roberts.
There was Zobel?
I'm a big Eric Roberts fan. If he were on Sons of Anarchy, I would have clocked it immediately.
Oh, man, I am wrong. Okay. Yeah, I don't know who I don't know who the guy was, but there was a guy that was running for office.
One of my favorite. You know what I also think when I think about, you know, my family and mom, I don't mean to, you know, disparage your legend here, but
you've
I feel
already
like,
shamed him, Brett.
Yeah.
So
for me, it was like, so all the, you had all the violence and stuff, but one of the characters I think that I liked the most was Gemma, because throughout she was like always ripping someone a new asshole, which reminded me of my, yeah, she always reminded me of my mom, where it's like, you think, you see all these comments, and it goes back to like the populace here. You see these comments on Facebook where they're like, I'd tell that bitch to shut the fuck up. Like, that's all they have to say. And then Gemma would just be the one that says something along the lines of shut the fuck up. And then you're supposed to applaud. Like, that she, or she called somebody a junky bitch. She was pretty good for that, too.
Yeah. No,
yeah,
she knew how to put a bitch in her place, definitely.
I thought it was interesting that in the last season, they like had her help somebody get clean off of heroin. I'm like, that's the last fucking person I would ever want to be there when I'm getting off heroin. Clean it up, you junkie bitch.
Yeah, she would just shame the shit out of you.
I think that's what you need. You need tough love from Gemma to kick that itch.
That is true. That is what all the people watching. See, I told you. You just need to call someone the C word and they'll quit the drugs immediately.
Well, yeah, that is like another thing is like they spend a lot of time saying like, yeah, see, this is how people really are. Cause I think I've talked about how like, people watch House of Cards and they kind of are just like, this is really what it's like.
That show's garbage.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying
if someone tells you they like that show and they think it's really smart and cool, just write them off instantly.
That's how I feel too. But I feel like Sons of Anarchy is kind of that for crime. People are like, you know, people think crime is a really easy fucking thing to get into, but it's not. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of elbow grease.
Especially if you're principled like me.
Yeah, this goes back to my theory that it's just crime fantasy for kind of like, you know, middle-class white people, like the Walter White thing. Like, the idea is that, like, he's the suburban every dad, but he'll take his sort of, like, white man abilities of just, like, the product of work ethic, dorkiness, and just being an asshole, and if he applies that to crime, he'll just flip it like that, and, like, he's already just, like, surpassing all of the established and let's say darker criminal elements.
Well, it's always that he beat like, we're very afraid of the Mexican drug cartels. That's why in Sons of Anarchy they're like, we go head to head with the Mexican drug cartels and we come out on top.
Yeah, we're not afraid of, you know, black street gangs or crazy Mexican, you know,
Mayans.
Yeah, the Mayans. Or like Walter White, it's like it's sort of like the Batman or Arrow is another show on TV, like, or it's sort of the superhero origin story where it's like a white, if you're a white guy and you're rich usually, but if you get sort of like shipwrecked or you travel to like the magical Orient and you get like adopted by some, Asian master, like 6 months of intense training and you'll be a better ninja than like everyone else in all of Asia.
Yeah, it's also
that
it's
all
also,
you need is just like a couple really hard, you need to go hard in the gym, but it's just you got the skills already. You seem to have it brought out of you by the magical East.
Yeah, well, and also I guess it's like it's a transference of ethics where it's like, I told that bitch Jocelyn at work if she doesn't train the printer again that she's going to get her ass tied up, and now she does. And that's exactly what I would say to a bitch on heroin. And then so on Sons of Anarchy, they put it in there, and so you're like totally fulfilled. Like, see, that's how I handle the bitches at work with the toner cartridges.
But, you know, it's always this idea, like, if I turn to a life of crime, like, I could really skill it.
I would
kill it. Like, I have the business acumen and ruthlessness inside me already to just be a master criminal.
And it turns out, actually, that, like, they're watching something where the people that are doing the crime are fucking inept. Like, they're aspiring for a life of fucking up, so you have to kill your way out of everybody.
They're so bad at it. But they pull it out just, yeah, at the end by killing a bunch of people, and it's all good.
Yeah, right, and that's where one of the biggest fans I know that went full bore with the like $70 hoodie that is patched up and everything was like
does he have a leather? Does he have a patch? A cut?
I mean, on the back of the sweatshirt, yeah, that's what you're paying for. They take another sweatshirt and they cut it out and put it on there for you. But I feel like he feels like he does. Think that, like, all right, I'm going to be stuck at a table full of dummies and somehow I'm going to come out on top. Like, this is the world of crime, man. You're going to deal with the sex dad. You're going to deal with the Irish dad. You're going to deal with the aloof dad. And he's just thinks that he comes out on top of the pig pile.
But, you know, looping right back around to my, you know, things about dads and white people being assholes. Brian, I sent you the link today, but I sent him a link today for like this, sort of like clothing store for the NYPD that's sort of set up by them, sort of for them, and all of their, like, you know, they're rocking the Reaper now. He's got these corny dorks in like the, you know, street crimes unit or whatever are making themselves t-shirts with like, you know, a skull face Reaper head on it. And they're like, you know, phrases like tough guy, like, you know, don't mess with us, taking punks out or stuff. Like they think they're the Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. I mean, the Sons of Anarchy is a broad swath of, like, the that's what they want to be. Like, a lot of dads just wish they could hang out at the fucking garage and never look at a motor. Like, because that's another thing. They never worked on their motorcycles. They never even looked at their motor. I don't think they really even cared about motorcycles. And, like, you know, they would just go, like, me and my buds get to go hang out at a clubhouse and there's strippers there, you know? Like, that's what it seems like. Like, it was almost like the man cave.
The TV show. It was like...
yeah, absolutely.
It's the television adaptation of man cave.
But it's a man cave, but you can also, like, you know, work out all of your, like, you know, violent fantasies about, you know, dominating other people and getting away with murder and stuff like that.
That is nice.
It's every man's dream. It's the American dream, and that is Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, we all want to be dumb as hell and just barely fucking get by on our wits.
I wish I was just scrapping together some sort of existence for some beer at the end of the night.
Yeah, I love that. Before we wrap the show up, I just want to say that, like, forever, I may have to go back through now and watch thinking about how they all make about $30,000 a year.
Seriously, go back and watch the show and realize that, like, all the drama and everything that's going on is for, like, you know, the equivalent of being, like, a floor manager at Best Buy.
Were they even homeowners?
No, they were renting. They were all renting.
They don't have insurance either. You know that they don't fucking have insurance, and they need, like, nobody needs insurance more than the Sons of Anarchy.
Who would insure them?
Exactly. Maybe they, you think there's a Sons of Anarchy group plan?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, they have some kind of, they're on Cobra. They've got that Cobra hookup.
Maybe, I mean, at least they could be like mystery dock workers or something and get hooked up with some sort of dental and vision.
No, they don't even have one of those fake mafia jobs where you get, you know, like the construction workers union.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a big story, too, along the lines. It's like somebody would die, and like, they'd be like, we're going to take care of your family. And I was always like, no, you're not. You're not.
They don't even know.
Opie, I'm going to make sure your son has a fresh carton of cigarettes at the beginning of every week. I'm going to look after him, Ope. I love you, brother.
Yeah, that's a bold-faced lie.
Yeah, they can't. I mean, they're fucking all like they probably all collect unemployment too. Like,
oh, Brian, I think this may be a good way to close it out, but going back again, Opie, also dead.
Yeah, he's a dead one. He Opie was Jax watched him die. Part of Jax's punishment.
Beaten to death in the sort of gladiatorial prison combat.
Yes.
R.I.P., brother.
Yeah, that one was tough.
Yeah, well, his wife getting killed was tough, too. By the way, killed by Tig, who lived in the end.
Yeah, so what's the future hold for the Sons of Anarchy, then? They have a real ragtag group. I mean, that's like, they really got the bad news bears of the Sons of Anarchy left.
Well, I mean, you were starting out with the most bunk, like, basically the Three Stooges running the thing, so, like, I mean, I really, they might not move at all. You know what I mean? They might not progress because Chibs doesn't do anything unless somebody tells them to.
I would like to imagine that the One-Niners and the Mayans would instantly realize just what a bunch of chumps they're dealing with and then just backstab them and completely wipe them out. I think that's likely to happen. At least that's what I hope would happen to them.
Do you think Jax's kids are in Sons of Anarchy? I do. I think they end up, because I have to say that Jimmy Smits and Adriana are probably not the two best parents.
They're probably not the best, parental figures for them.
Because fucking even Jimmy Smits was like, I'm trying to get a legit job. It's an illegal brothel.
I'm trying to run a legit whorehouse. Bring up these kids.
Yeah. Oh man, he was great. Like, God bless you, Jimmy Smits. You were my favorite character in Sons of Anarchy. When he found out that Gemma killed Tara, like that scene, Brett sent me a thing that somebody said that a scene in Sons of Anarchy was one of the greatest things ever put on film or something like that. And I can guarantee it's when Jimmy Smits and Gemma were standing next to each other. And Jax told him on the phone what happened.
With some good acting.
Yeah. Me mom killed Tara.
And he just has a look like, Gemma, how could you?
Because she fucking killed Jax's dad too.
Oh God. What does this sound like to anyone who's never seen the show?
Yeah, let's please work
like
that.
Yeah, wrestling. Exactly. It sounds like wrestling.
Please get that. Let us know. StreetFightRadio@gmail.com. I know there's a lot of you that listen.
I know there's people that listen to a wrestling show.
I hope this is listenable for the people.
Now, people listen to the wrestling shows. And I'm always just like, I can't believe.
I listen to wrestling shows and I have no idea what you're talking about. So
you don't have to. You can take that week off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the thing about it, if you listen to this show and you didn't understand what was going on, just know that, like,
I didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah, it didn't make any fucking sense. I would love to tell you what really happened in the last season, but like, the show kind of felt like they had a beginning point of every episode and an ending point of every episode. And that ending point was 2 hours and 45 minutes away from the beginning point, and they had to just put as many obstacles in their way as they could. So they would basically, the whole last season was like, hey, we got to go meet with the white supremacists so that they can set up a deal with the guys in the prison who are going to set up a deal with the Chinese who are going to set up a deal.
I mean, but that's every season though, but I guess it was just more fresher, more artfully done earlier on.
They ratcheted up. They ratcheted up. It sounds like if each episode was like that. I mean, it was just more of a. At the beginning, it was just kind of meandering through that. But they're going to cram it all into 90 minutes each week. That last one, man. Brian was like, every minute was just so excruciating. I told him to give up, man. He wouldn't do it.
I don't never, give up. Like I finished. What else? I finished something else.
Oh, I watched every episode of Lost. Oh god.
I did too. I loved it though. I actually the way that I watched it, I marathoned Lost.
I did. So, I marathoned a lot of it, but.
Yeah, Brian, I didn't have to wait till I didn't have to go through a long, arduous 6-year process to get to the end of Lost, so I enjoyed every minute of Lost.
Because okay. It only took me like 3 months to do
okay,
it.
Okay, okay.
I never had to wait. But like
I watched like Friday Night Lights, which I really liked all the way up until the end. So I don't hate everything. I watch Homeland, which is, you know, that's considered very not popular.
Problematic.
Yeah, I like it though. I like this season. I'm really into it.
Yeah, I would never say that you're
really good.
Huh? I don't give up. I never give up on anything. That's me. I'm like I'm the John Cena of TV. I never give up on a TV show.
That is true, and you're always trying to convince me that this is the next hit thing, and then it gets canceled, and you're like, "Well, I gave it a shot. At least I didn't miss out on the next thing."
I fucking want the next Lost. Like I missed. I watched the first episode of Lost the night of the finale of Lost, and then just watched it over 3 months. It was over. I was like, no wonder everybody fucking loved this thing, man. It was great. And then I found out people didn't like the last season, and I kind of chalked it up to the fact that I didn't have to wait for it. So it was fine with me.
Yeah, I was myself personally. I was week to week Lost from the very first episode, and I still love it. I've watched it twice now.
I went beginning to end on I almost got to the end of Revolution because I thought it was going to be the next Lost. When it turned out, what ended up being the next Lost was Breaking Bad.
And you were there for that, though. You caught up halfway through.
You never know what's going to be the next Lost is the lesson for me. The next, like, cultural experience. Like, when they show the last episode of Big Bang Theory, we're all going to feel like a bunch of dipshits for never watching any of the other episodes.
I mean, whether it's... you know, these TV shows that go on and on and on, or wrestling, or comic books. I think it's just kind of the appeal of living in a narrative, or sort of like of living in a narrative that just keeps going on, and you can just like keep putting your consciousness back into this story, and have it evolve and keep evolving. And you know, I made fun of Sons of Anarchy a lot, but I did watch it, and you know, a lot of people were involved in creating it, created a lot of jobs, so a lot of work went into it.
It was a job creator. That is good. Like, that's something I always say. It probably generated some tax revenue for somebody.
Yeah, and you know what? As much as we made fun of it, I think that, you know, where maybe comic books and some of the other things are more niche, like, the reason that you hold up Lost as this, like, holy grail is because it did affect a wide swath of people. The same way that Breaking Bad did. And I'm going to have to say, man, Sons of Anarchy did too. It wasn't my thing, but I was astonished to see reasonable, educated people that were talking about tearing up at the end of Sons of Anarchy, and I was just thrown for a loop.
Yeah, they might be missing their buds too. You know what I mean? Like, you get kind of sad. Like, I am... like kind of sad that I don't know what Tig and but although I don't have faith that Sons of Anarchy is over, that dude would make another 10 seasons if they'd let him.
Please don't let him FX.
What if they just fucking, because like I've read two rumors since it ended. This maybe we can leave the show with a little bit of optimism. One rumor is that he wants to write a prequel of it, where you get to see all the original original Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
And that one might be groovy because it would take place in like the 70s and stuff, you know?
Yeah, it would be they fucked around.
Yeah, I'd be into that. Or now somebody's like, Kurt Sutter has some ideas for a sequel to Sons of Anarchy. I'm like, Sons of Anarchy doesn't need a fucking sequel.
Well, there is literally Sons of Anarchy in it now, though, right? I mean, Jax has kids.
Yeah, they moved them away, though. What happened was they moved all the kids out to Norco, which I don't know where that... I think they mean Northern California, but maybe there's a place called Norco. I'm not sure. But they moved all the kids to Norco, and Jax burned all the books and all of his dad's books.
Oh, I wish he'd sent that manuscript to an editor, by the way.
Yeah, really. I mean, he had a lot of stuff. I'm sure it was good, man. When he would sit on top of like the van and write before doing like a nighttime heist, it was always very deep, the things he was thinking.
And if you have an author that just kills himself right after sending in a manuscript, I guarantee you I could move a couple of those units.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that story definitely could have been told in print.
That's beautiful. And when you think about like that book, they did mail out a Sons of Anarchy book that was released. It was released like the week of, and they mailed it out a day before the book, so people got it, and it had the spoiler of what happened at the end. Like, nobody knew. I mean, we all fucking...
Oh, right. Yeah, that was spoiled. Yeah, who are the four people that didn't see that coming?
I think Jax is going to live. I really do. He's going to end up on an island. He's going to find out that it was all a dream, and he's just some... It would have been nice if it was all a dream, and he's just some square dad.
Oh, what was that show that took place inside of some dumb kid's snow globe?
Oh, what? Not dumb kid. He was autistic.
Right? Yeah, what was that?
That was Saying Elsewhere.
He's Saying Elsewhere, yeah.
Well, all kids are dumb to me. I just knew it was a kid's snow globe. They're all dumb.
Yeah, I would have loved it if Sons of Anarchy would have been just some fucking business dad's dream.
Oh my god, if they would have had a guy at the Iron Pony or at like an Eagles Lounge or something, just been like, that would have been awesome. At the end? If they would have had fucking Otto sitting there like, imagine if that would have happened.
Oh god.
That would have fucking made it so worthwhile. I just, you know, it really is like the top kind of like picture of dad cool. Like it's fucking Life is a Highway, basically. It's the Life is a Highway of TV.
Guys, I think we've done like 2 hours, but I gotta say, it was great being back on again and riding through this world.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
I'm glad I wasn't alone. I'm really glad I wasn't alone.
The crow flies straight. A perfect line.
We got to pick, also, I think for our closing song here, we got to find the best Gemma song. I like, personally, House of the Rising Sun. It's my
favorite. She did every fucking hit that you can ever think of. So, just pick one.
All the classic rock CDs. I'll figure one out for you. But thank you, everyone that listened. Those of you that are just rabid fans of Sons of Anarchy and hate us right now, I mean, you don't have to subscribe to the feed. You can just blow off. But for those of you that enjoyed what we do and want to keep listening, we do actually an Anarchy radio show each week, Thursdays at 8 p.m., Brian and myself. And you can find everything we do at streetfightradio.com. Just let people know, share the link and spread the word about it is probably the best plan of action here. Peace.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Billy Ray was the preacher's son. When his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gather around the parlor talking, that's when Billy would take me walking. Through the backyard we'd go walking, then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise that the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. Hallelujah. Ooh, he was. Yeah, it was. Hallelujah. Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I try. When he started sweet talking to me, come and tell me everything is alright. Say, baby, everything is alright. Can I get away again? Was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. Hallelujah. Oh, how well I remember. stealing kisses from me on the sly, taking time to make time, telling me that he's all mine, learning from each other's knowing, looking to see how much we've grown. And the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man.